Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Russ Avison right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to LA Talk Radio. You are listening to The Writer's Block. I am your host with the most, Jim Christina, and I am sitting here in studio looking at my charming co-host, Bobby G. Bell, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and of course, Mr. Richard Polinelli in Fruta, Colorado, the home of nothing.
Absolutely not.
Hi, Bob.
Hey. I'm still playing around with my I couldn't hardly hear you, so I had to turn up my speakers. You know, every day is a new challenge.
it's a new adventure, isn't it?
Yes.
Russ is still training dogs. He won't be with us until his next stint in August. So we're filling in for him tonight. We have a really great guest tonight. Before we get started with that, however, Richard and I are, I don't know, for those who listen, know that we have a little company called Tuscany Bay Books. And if you are an author and you want to get your book noticed and get it out to worldwide recognition, it's very, very simple. Send in an email to, send that to my personal email address because I get all those, jimchristina@yahoo.com. Give me a brief synopsis of the book, no longer than 60 seconds. Of course, your name, the title of the book. And all of this runs you about $25, not even about it. It is $25, and that pay through PayPal at jchristina@TuscanyBayBooks. As soon as we get that in, we will broadcast your book on 1 minute spot on the current LA Talk Radio's Writer's Block. You can do as many weeks as you like. If you're interested, please contact me personally, and I'll make sure that happens for you. Next up, if you are a host and you really think that you got something to say on the radio, LA Talk Radio is your place to go. All you need to do is go to latalkradio.com, find the link that says be a host, and follow the instructions. Mr. Sam Hassan is the owner and has treated us well. And LA Talk Radio is our home now, has been for 6 years, and will continue to be for another 6 years. Okay, with that being said, guys, anything really spectacular happening?
I'm in Fruta. Nothing happens here. We just wave at the cars on I-70 as they go by, you know?
Well, that's true, except that probably next week you'll be moving to, like, you know, crap sling Asia. Who knows?
The way the last 3 years have played out, God only knows where we're going to wind up. So I don't even try to guess anymore.
But now, instead of moving one dog, you got to move two.
And instead of moving one very old dog, I have two very young puppies.
Oh. Yeah. But you can teach them new tricks.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Bobby.
Yes.
How is Jim and how is Outlast doing, by the way?
Oh, we're just rolling right along, always adding new products and always putting up posts on our Outwest Shop Facebook page. I think we might start a contest this week. This Saturday is National Day of the Cowboy.
Oh, that's right.
And I think maybe we should maybe do a giveaway. I don't know. I'm kind of rattling around in my brain. So you might want to follow Outwest Shop on Facebook just to see what I might be cooking up.
Well, and you know, as always, Out West is your home for every book that we have on this show that we feature on the Writer's Block. They somehow wind up in Out West Library and are available for purchase. So if you're looking for a book, go there first. Right?
Yeah. Just go to us first for whatever you need.
especially if you want a Western book. That's where they're going to find them.
Yes.
Speaking of Western books, tonight's guest is no novice to Western writing. The man is he is an absolute just a genius when it comes to writing stories of the West, much like myself. And he's as they ride good horses. Oh God, Dale, I forgot the other one. Yeah, but I know Small Moving Parts. Love that book.
Unbroke Horses.
That's right, Unbroke Horses. Dale has been on our show twice now. This is his third visit, and it's always a pleasure having Dale on the show. We will be, however, talking about his screenwriting and the trials and tribulations of getting something from novel to screenplay to the screen. So without further ado, please welcome back to the Writer's Block, Mr. Dale Jackson, or as he is known on the covers of his books, D.B. Jackson. Yay!
Hey, thank you, Bobby, Gene, and Jim, and Richard. It's as always such a great pleasure to be here. This is this is literally one of the highlights of this whole career, and it's always fun to be with you guys. I loved our time in Santa Clarita, and LA Talk Radio is a great way to sort of hold that bond together. I love it. Pleasure to be here, as always.
Well, and you know, and it's a pleasure to have you, and I'm proud to say, or honored to say, that I consider you a good friend, and you live close to me.
Friends
and neighbors, and I'm glad that's happened, and I'm glad to see you move up to my part of the woods, where your neighbor is also a cow, and
That's true.
Yeah, living in Nampa is not much different than living in Star. It's just, I mean, there's just nothing here. Except you have a Jimmy John's, and we don't have one of those. So.
Hey, we have one here in Fruta.
You do?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But do you have a Jersey Mike's?
Yes.
That we do not have. But they have it in Albuquerque.
Ah. Yeah, they do have it in Albuquerque. Okay, Dale, let's talk about the first book that they picked up for screenwriting and stuff. The guy's the first interest was which one?
It was They Rode Good Horses, my first book. It's sort of a long and interesting story how that happened, so I won't take you through the whole details other than to say that a local lady in Oakdale, California, where we used to live, picked up the book in a local supermarket where it's for sale. And she called and left a message on my voicemail on my telephone. And she said that this is whatever her name was. And I'm trying to reach the author, D.B. Jackson. And I said, we have a customer actually call me, somebody who read the book, which was a total surprise. This is the first book, and this is my first experience. So anyway, I said, well, she thinks she called somebody famous, so I better call her back. So Mary knew how to get the number on the caller ID, and we called her back and I talked to her. And she said, yeah, my son-in-law, who is in Nashville right now, meeting with Steven Seagal and Kris Kristofferson with a movie that just finished called Fire Down Below. And I thought, well, that's pretty exciting. She said, well, he's reading your book. I gave him a copy of your book, and he's reading it on the airplane back. And he called me when they landed and said he loved the book and wanted to talk to you. I said, well, that would be great. So finally got a telephone call from him about a week later, and come to find out that his fiance was the senior vice president at DreamWorks, and they were interested in the film. So I'm interested in the book for a film. So they came up, spent 3 days with us, and through the long process, finally had a screenwriter on board who wrote a screenplay. They didn't like it, and they came back for another 3 days to visit with us and asked me if I would write the screenplay. And I said, well, first of all, I've never seen a screenplay before, so I would be happy to tackle it on one condition. And they said, what's that? And I said, if it isn't any good, we fire me. So they said that would be fine. And as it turned out, it was a great experience. They loved the screenplay. We first wrote it as a feature film and then decided it was covering too much territory. Went back and rewrote the whole thing, the pilot and two episodes for a limited series for television.
Okay.
And so that one currently is in the works somewhere.
Oh, okay.
But we don't know.
You don't know where. Now, you
well,
took...
Well, it was presented to several... Excuse me. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, 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 please.
Oh, I was just going to say it was presented to several studios and some of the streamers and the networks. And the last interest that we had was from Netflix. And then this COVID thing hit and everything slowed down, ground to a halt. So,
right.
So we haven't gotten anything back on that one.
Right.
But that's
right.
The beginning of another story. So,
now,
yeah, so that's the...
I heard that you that through the grapevine that you actually rewrote the book. They Rode Good Horses.
I did, as a matter of fact.
And you have a new title on that book, which is?
It's called Wind River Incident.
There you go.
Oh, that's a rewrite of. Excuse me.
Yeah. So what we did. is the book covers so much ground that it was really hard to adapt it to the screen, and of course that was the first book, so there were things in there that I wanted to have an opportunity to revisit. So I went ahead and got the rights back from the original publisher, and then couldn't use that same title again, so I had to change the name. And
right.
then the book is more closely now in line with the script. So the screenplay and the book are more representative of what the final product will be.
Okay. Because I have a copy of the original. So should I throw that away because that's no good anymore?
No.
No, actually, in the fall when the weather gets nicer, they hold the door open.
No, see, now you have a rare first edition. Don't toss it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how rare it is. It's a first edition for sure. Yeah. Of course, Dale Dixon,
it's
the first edition.
Well, and for me as a writer, you know, that first book is such a milestone, as you know, Jim. And Richard, everybody knows that that is such a labor of love that when you finally do get that book finally finished, it's such a an uplifting rock star moment for you that if nothing else, at least always will hold that sentimental value. So
yep. Oh, absolutely.
That.
Hey, Dale, I got a question for you because I'm going through the process that you just mentioned with one of my books. And I did rewrite the screenplay, and it's being considered, and we're waiting and going through all that. But did you find yourself, as you were doing the screenplay, thinking that you wish you had written the book the way you did the screenplay?
That's a great question, Richard, because the art of writing a screenplay is so much different than a book. Mm-hmm. You've got, at most, if it's a feature film, 120 pages, maybe 115,
right.
And now even down to 90 in a lot of cases, to get the whole story written. So you cannot waste any time on anything that's going to take up space on that page that doesn't move the ball down the field. Secondly, you have the added advantage that what you're presenting in the screenplay is the visual of what you expect to see on the screen, which in most cases takes the place of so much wordage that you put in the book that I would honestly say that anybody who's serious about writing novels should gain some experience writing a screenplay. It makes the economy of words, the effectiveness of having something that's cinematic on the page, all of those things are just so powerful in the form of a screenplay that it's really hard to replicate without that experience in a book.
Yeah,
right? I did. I had the same experience.
Yeah, when I was talking with the first producer that looked at the book before I even wrote the screenplay, he was telling me, you know, you've got all these great elements, but you need to kind of reorder them real fast. It was a different thing.
It is for sure. And there's one of the things that I think screenplay and screenwriting teaches you, if you're a student that's at the same time you're in the process of doing one, is that when my process when I'm writing a novel is I'm watching this story play out in my mind, and then I'm simply recording what's going on. That's fine if your novel's 300 pages long, but if you've got 115 pages to get that done, you do not have the luxury of being able to think that way.
Right.
And therefore, you have to go make sure that your story has a structure. Your characters have to have a specific arc. They have to have a journey that you can, you know what they want. You know what their failings are and their strengths and where they're going. And so each character has an arc. Each story has an arc. And so the plot has to be something that ties in closely with the characters, and then it's a certain pattern than formulaic writing, but it's very similar in the sense that all of those components of storytelling have to be there.
Okay.
And if they're not, then it won't pass the test.
Right, right. So, we had a guest last week that not last week, week before, I guess. Western writer Richard, you were there with me.
Yeah.
And his book was like, oh my God, it was like really long. And it was a good story, but it took him way too long to tell it. Mm-hmm. One of our comments to him was, you need to take your descriptive sentences and cut them down to half a sentence. You don't need two paragraphs to describe what the prairie looks like. One sentence will do it.
But there is that temptation.
I know.
Don't you find that, Jim? We're all going along there, and you get so engrossed in what you're writing and so absorbed in it that it's like, I want to tell you every detail, which way the grass is blowing and how big the sand are.
But it
takes a discipline.
I find myself biting the inside of my cheek when I do that because it gets too descriptive. And hold on to that thought, Dale. We've got to run to a real quick break. You're very listening good. To LA's Talk Radio. You're listening to The Writer's Block. We'll be right back after this brief word from, amazingly enough, LA Talk Radio. Jim Christina here for LA Talk Radio. And if you've ever thought that you could be a radio host, well, now is certainly your opportunity. Go to www.latalkradio.com. Find the link that says be a host and follow the instructions. You know, everybody's got something to say. And if you've got a show that you think needs to be heard, how about you link up with us? Because we've got 50-minute shows available every day of the week, plus Sundays. So how about giving us a try? That's latalkradio.com. And listen every Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, for The Writer's Block, right here on LA Talk Radio. And we are back with our guest tonight, D.B. Jackson, of course, the co-hosts, Bobby Jean Bell and Richard Polinelli, the one and the only, sitting here himself. It is Purple Shirt.
Yep.
If you want to call and talk to Dale, and I'm sure some of you out there love Dale's writing as much as I do, the number here in the studio is 323-203-0815. And as Bobby says, get a pencil. 323-203-0815. You can call and you can talk directly to Mr. D.B. Jackson, who happens to be with us right now. Back to the descriptives. I find myself cutting myself off at the knees when I start doing that, Dale, only because Larry McMurtry was wonderful at keeping descriptions short, but his books were long because his stories were long.
Mm-hmm.
When you take a story that really doesn't need to be 400 pages and make it 400 pages, I think that there's an issue, or not an issue, but not even a problem. It's just your descriptive tendencies tend to want to run rampant with you.
That's an interesting observation, Jim, and it's really fascinating to me because there's something happening out here in media land, whether it's television, books, or whatever. The attention span of our readers and our viewers is getting shorter and shorter.
Exactly.
And those 400-page books that we used to like to really get into and just live with, people want to sit down and want to read a book in a much shorter period of time.
Right.
And the same thing is happening in films. Films are getting shorter. Television presentations are being presented in irregular intervals now for like a limited series, like a Netflix, for example, where you can go on and binge watch. You can sit down and watch as many episodes back to back as you want to. That's a whole new world. And so in screenwriting, what that does is that it changes the perspective on how you structure a screenplay if you're going for one of the streamers. So Yeah, so I'm with you 100%. That discipline that you need to be more economical in your writing is actually a mark of good discipline and good experience and the talent that it takes to be able to do that. But it's also being forced upon us by the fact that people don't want to invest that time.
Right.
So that's an interesting phenomenon.
I totally get that. And, you know, Bob Brill has a way of putting it. He calls them airplane books.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's something that you can buy in the bookstore, get on the plane and read and be done with it when you land. You know,
yeah.
Go ahead, Dale.
A perfect example of that is the phenomenon of YouTube. YouTube has now created a world where everything is presented in 3 to 12 minute blocks.
Exactly.
You can watch anything you want in those blocks, and people, that entertainment like that is consumed by the zillions of hours.
Right.
In fact, when Jeffrey Katzenberg sold DreamWorks, and they asked him what he was going to do after DreamWorks Animation, and he said that he is focusing now on producing full-length movies that are 8 to 15 minutes long for that audience that watches YouTube.
Right.
Whether that will ever materialize, it's interesting the guy of his vision and his wherewithal would recognize that and actually devote and invest in that.
Right.
There's got to be something to it.
Yeah. Bobby,
Dale, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about the screenwriting process, especially since you admitted that, you know, when you wrote your first one, you had never written one before. And I can imagine that some of our authors in the audience listening really don't know exactly what do you do. I read an interesting interview with you where you covered a little bit about for television networks, what actually is expected, all the different components that you have to produce. I wondered if you could just share a little bit of that with us.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Bobby Jean. And that's sort of there's a two-level proposition there. One is there's that notion that most of us have, or at least had, that if I can just get a screenplay written for my book and then I get that screenplay in the right hands, I'm golden. Well, the problem with that is that the screenplay is actually a very small part of the whole process. There's the treatment and the character. I mean, there's a lot of components that go with that. But back to the screenwriting elements itself, there's a process, and there's software out there that helps make that much simpler. You know, the majority of screenwriters use a product called Final Draft. And Final Draft helps you with the formatting and things like that. But the key is that you have to be able to understand several things. First of all, the process of how to use the software, which is the easy part. But the other part is who you're writing that for. That screenplay is not written as a final shooting script. It's written as a spec script. And that means that you don't do a lot of directorial things in there. You don't tell them where to place the cameras and all of that. You leave that to the professionals who know how to do that. And by the same token, one of the mistakes that a lot of people make is that they write a screenplay like they write a novel, which includes things like what somebody's thinking and things that you can't convert to a visual. So everything that you write that's part of the narrative has to be something that converts to a visual. Now, you recognize that once you write that screenplay, that you're writing part of it to the director, you're writing part of it to the DP, the director of photography, and you're writing to the actors. Now, depending on the actors, most actors, first of all, want to be visually featured on the screen, but they don't want to be responsible for long blocks of dialogue. So you have to be very cautious about making sure that their dialogue is crisp and to the point and that it allows them to show their acting skills at the same time they're delivering the message. So the answer then sort of to the question, Bobby Jean, is that as opposed to writing a novel where you're responsible for everything that's on the page, when you're writing a screenplay, you have to remember that actors are going to ad-lib some of your dialogue. the director is going to change a lot of the things that you want to say, and the director of photography is going to cut out a lot of scenes that don't translate to a good visual on the screen. So you have a lot of people that you need to try to write to. Probably the single most frustrating point is that the first person you need to write that script to is a 30-year-old guy in a suit who's never shot a movie himself. He's the gatekeeper. He's the acquisitions editor, and you got to get past him before you even get to these other. So there's a sales job that. Yeah, I mean it's a very fascinating proposition because there's so much going on. But once you understand what you're up against, and you understand that you have other documents that are part of that whole package, nobody ever just sends in a script. There's always a treatment that goes with it. And every story starts with a log line. And Jim, I think you and I talked about this last time a little bit. A log line is one or maybe two sentences at the most that tells your whole story,
right?
Your story's about.
Right.
Hardest thing in the world to write. Writing a log line is just a killer. So you need to start with a log line that really captures the essence of what the story is. Then you have a concept that paragraph in there or two that allows you to broaden that somewhat. And then you get to the synopsis and then everything else that goes with that. So you've got to be able to not only write the script and tell the story there, you have to be able to summarize that literally down to a single sentence.
Right.
This is a huge challenge.
Hey, Dale, when you did your script, did they have you create a list of locations and then suggested actors and director for the roles?
Yes and no. It depends on who you're working with, Richard, and what your role. And here's my experience, that there's a certain stage of the whole process where the writer is the most important guy in the room. Everybody has their eyes on you. Everybody's listening to you. Everybody is waiting on every word that crosses your lips. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have anything brilliant to say, which most of us don't. And so you come to that point where you recognize that the writer is clearly the most important guy in this whole process. Then once the script is accepted and is handed off to the director, then the guy that hauls the cables around, I can't remember what you call him, a grip, I think, he's more important than the writer.
Yeah.
Then you become the lowest simple.
Yeah.
We're done with you, so now move on. So there's a whole ego experience that goes along with that, from flying high to having your legs get out from under you.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's such a fun process, though, that the more you do it, the more you enjoy it.
Yeah. You know, you had mentioned that people don't, writers don't understand, you know, what they're getting into when they sit down to write either a script from an original idea or they're adapting from a novel. One thing that I did that helped me down the road, and I did this years ago, is I took a film class at the local community college and actually shot a student film. So I was able to take that experience and use it. And I would suggest if somebody's serious about getting into screenwriting, do that first.
Oh, I remember that movie. That was a Debbie Does Cupertino, wasn't it?
No, it was not Debbie Does. No. No, thank you. No, I could tell horror stories about that student film. But anyway, no, I mean, it gives you a glimpse into what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly, but I think Dale would agree. If you've got some inkling of what you're getting into, you're going to come out at the end with a better product.
Yes, and that's such great advice, Richard, because you literally have to recognize what a novice you are as a beginner in this industry. And mm-hmm. the people that you're up against, they are smart, they're sophisticated, they're egotistical, they're hard to get along with sometimes they're easy to get along with, but these guys that you're competing with have mastered their craft. And so when you sit down to write a script, you have to recognize that in order for that script to ever be made into a film, it has to be the best one on that producer's desk.
Yeah. So, yeah. And there's a lot of people.
Yes.
yeah, there's a lot of people out there trying to get their script sold. So you really got to come through and outshine them.
Go ahead, Bobby.
You do, and that's a ton of pressure.
Yeah.
Dale, I have a quick question. As a reader, do you, as the writer, have to think differently about your audience, a reader versus a viewer? Or do you anticipate that your reader is also going to want to view what you've, you know, your what happens in the movie or network production? Do you have to think about them as two different audiences, or are they the same audience?
No, they may be the same people, but their requirements for a movie are different than their requirements for a
right.
book.
Right.
When you're reading a book, you want to get lost in it, and you want to sit back and do that. When you're watching something on the screen, the words become really much less important than they are in a book. Not that they're unimportant, but they become less important because they have to like the actors. They have to like the scenery. They like the photography and the lighting and the sound and all these other components that come together. So in reality, when you're putting your book on the screen, you're going from sort of a single focus to a multiple focus of things that that if one of those annoys the audience too much or they don't appreciate it, then the whole thing is condemned. The whole project, the whole movie is not good. I didn't like that movie because it was too dark. I didn't like the movie because I couldn't hear the sound. And all right. of a sudden, your brilliant story and your great acting goes down the tubes because mm-hmm. of a technicality.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
when you're writing, you have to be aware of that, and you have to say, okay, look, I'm going to use some bad language here. But who is this story for? We're writing a movie of the week, hopefully for Hallmark, and there's some tense action in the part of that, and so now you have to figure out, now how can I express this guy's anger and frustration without using bad language, without denigrating somebody, without him being obnoxious or unlikable.
Right.
That's a real.
Mm-hmm. That's a talent. Hang on just a second. We're going to take another real quick break. This is LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Writer's Block, and we'll be right back with you right after this brief word from Black Dog Publishing and Tuscany Bay Books. Congratulations, you finally finished that book. Now what are you going to do with it? Well, as a new writer, you probably do what all new writers do, stick it in the drawer with the other six or seven. Well, why not this time do something a little different? Why not get a hold of Black Dog Publishing and our fine imprint of Tuscany Bay Books? See, we can get that book out of the drawer. We can proofread it. We can edit it. We can format it. We can publish it. We can print it. We can copyright it. And we can get it on the shelf so your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, hell, even a person you don't know or two or three might want to buy a copy. It's all what it's about. And all of this for less than the cost of your firstborn. So why not give us a shot? BlackDogPublishing.co, TuscanyBayBooks.com, your answer to getting your book published, and right now we're probably the best at what we do in this industry. Black Dog Publishing, Tuscany Bay Books. And we are back with our guests, Dale Jackson, of course, and Bobby Jean Bell and Richard Polinelli. And again, if you want to call and talk to Dale, the number here is 323-203-0815. And you can call and you can talk directly to Mr. Jackson. And Dale, I have a question for you because I know we have discussed this personally and privately at lunch and stuff.
Sure.
Your penchant for writing dialogue is much like my own. You love writing dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And you are much like myself and Richard when it comes to making sure that sentences aren't too long. People butt into each other's words. I mean, the dialogue has to sound as natural as possible. And I think all of us read back our dialogue out loud as we're writing it because we want it to sound as natural as it possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
The same with the screenplay, I am sure.
Absolutely. And truthfully, the heart of every book is above everything else, the characters. And the portrait of the characters is always the dialogue in most cases. So if you make in good characters and you give them good dialogue, which is almost always, depending on the character, it's always pretty straightforward. It's always pretty simple. And it's not overwrought like we might want to write a descriptive scene and shouldn't. So, yeah, I'm with you 100%, Jim. And I think every writer, beginning or experienced, should master the art of writing dialogue. It literally is the heartbeat of every story.
Truly.
Yeah, couldn't stress that more.
Truly. Well, Richard, you're sitting there looking like somebody just stole your earbud.
No. I'm dealing with the question I want to ask next, and somebody sent me a text message, and I'm like, leave me alone, people. Yeah, Dale, the one thing I wanted to kind of circle back to, because we were talking about novice screenwriters, and I had actually written three. The one I'm working on now is the first time I've adapted a book. And I was fortunate that I got connected to a producer who had read my book and said, you've got everything, you've got all the elements, but you need to kind of jumble some stuff around and get to your main character quicker and move this other stuff back. So I listened to that. You know, and most writers, I think, would go, no, this is the way it was and this is the way it's going to be. But I said, okay, this guy's done this for years. He knows what he's talking about. I'll make the adjustments. And I swear that the only reason why I'm at the point I am with this screenplay is because I listened to him that day. So for novice screenwriters, would you say, you know, a key element to success is keeping your mouth shut and keeping your ears open?
Absolutely, Richard. That's such a powerful point and so valid, and it's one that continues to keep coming back to us, even experienced writers. But part of the rewriting process for everybody, and me in particular, I know that this has been a huge help for myself, is that when you're rewriting that screenplay, resequencing scenes is almost like a magic elixir. You can change the flow of the movie so much just by resequencing a few scenes. The other one that's incredibly powerful is actually, there's two of them, and one of those is just eliminating some scenes. And the other one that I find really, really helpful in moving the ball down the field in terms of getting that story out there and getting it told and keeping the audience up to speed are these short scenes that are like an establishing shot or just a brief scene that brings you up to speed on what two other side characters maybe in the B or C story are doing. So the trick is then to be able to write those short scenes. We all are tempted to make those scenes feel too significant, too big, and too overwritten. And sometimes they, in terms of screen time, you watch movies, and there will be scenes on the screen that don't even last 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an entire scene. So it's on the screen and off in 10 or 15 seconds. Those are powerful, and that ties in, I think, with the point you're making about resequencing and revisiting that script on those terms. Yeah, it's powerful stuff. Part of the experience and part of the skills that you develop as you go along.
Yeah, and when you get to when my first draft of the screenplay was 150 pages, which is, as you know, is 30 pages too long. So now I have to go back and I have to start cutting, and that is a difficult process because everything I cut was pretty important stuff. So, you know, how did you approach when you had to start cutting scenes, you know, to figure out, okay, this I have to keep and this I can live without?
Well, that's a great question, too. And part of it goes back to Mike Blake when he was writing Dances with Wolves with Kevin Costner. He came in with a script that was a 3-hour long thing, and they had to start cutting scenes to make it more manageable. And Costner is talking to Michael about getting this thing shortened up. And Michael looked at him and said, I'm already cutting off arms and legs. I don't know where else to go.
Yeah.
And it was still 3 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And can you believe that was cut way? That was cut back as far as he could cut it. Well, and but there's another. There are some techniques, Richard, that go along with that as well. And one of those, two of those that I found is when you have a seam that's exceptionally long, you'll probably find that you've got a lot of excessive words in there. And so there are some, if you read enough scripts, you'll see some techniques that some of these writers use that I really, really like, is that they will reduce their sentences down to just the essential action that's going on. He lifts his head, dot, 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 rolls over, dot, 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 pulls the trigger, dot, dot. Instead of, rolled over in the bed and made all this noise, you know, you just take it down to the essential elements of the of what's going on. And you can cut a ton of pages just by doing that. But yeah, for sure, that's a challenge, and that's a nemesis for every writer that ends up with a script that's too long.
Yeah, I think it took me longer to cut from 150 to 120 than it did to write the 150.
I believe you, and and you take a look at some of the stuff you're cutting. It's okay. I've just ruined my whole story, and in reality, then you go back and. And when you see it finally filmed, or you go back and read it, and you say, that was maybe the best thing I ever did. And that reminds me a little bit of a story on Unbroke Horses when I was fortunate enough to be able to work with Pat Labruto, who was Stephen King's editor. And Pat sent me the first edit back, and I had this brilliant opening, this page and a half, that just set the stage. I mean, everything about it I thought was just perfect. And Pat sends me the manuscript back with a note on it, said, look, you're the talent. Don't make any changes here that you don't want to make, but here's what I suggest. And then I look at it, and there was more red ink on that thing than black. So I read through his suggestions, and one after the other, and he said, you got to shorten this scene way, way up. And then on and on and on. And so I just folded up and I said, okay, Pat, I'm taking your advice. You said I don't have to make any changes I don't want to. I'm not making any. And then I backed up and I said, okay, he's got 30 years in the business with a success story that just is unbeatable and has worked with some of the best authors out there. Who do you think knows more about what's going on, him or me?
Yeah.
I did everything that I took every suggestion he made. And that page and a half came down to a short paragraph.
Wow. That happens.
So you really have to learn from the people who know. Sometimes don't always trust your own instincts, especially if they're not really well developed. But there's more than one way to get it done. If you know it needs to be shorter, then the question is, how do I make it shorter?
Yeah. Right.
That's on you.
Right. So. We Richard and I actually did a book for Bruce Olof. What was his last name?
Bruce Solheim.
Dr. Solheim. And the first chapter, when we sent it back to him, I believe, as you, Dale, was half read. Yeah. It was just line through line through line through line through, and it's just, I mean, he had so many unnecessary comments and so many unnecessary things in there for paranormal stories, and to his credit, he listened. But that's what took. I mean, sometimes it takes a long time to edit a book because you're trying to figure out what is salient, what isn't. You know, I'm absolutely certain.
And you're trying to figure out how to communicate to the author who may not think like you do.
Well, that's exactly right. It's like I tell Jerry, who happens to edit most of my stuff, I tell her, edit everything but the dialogue. Don't mess with my dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
And that is really such a huge benefit to have. Somebody help you with those services, because you can't, as an author, you read over every mistake you make. You can read it 100 times and you won't catch it.
That's what we say all the time on this show.
Well, and when you did your earlier commercial on Black Dog Publishing, I was just thinking, what a great service that is for any writer who is struggling to try to get the manuscript right and get it go through the whole system. That is the cheapest money they will ever spend for the most benefit that they will ever get. Because
absolutely.
You cannot do some of that. You can learn how to do all of that, but you can't do it yourself. You need a set of fresh eyes with that
absolutely.
Kind of experience. It's invaluable.
Yeah, we're working on a book right now for a gal, Caroline Giamonco, who has been a guest on this show a couple times. And this mm-hmm. is her first real good stab at fiction. And I sent her manuscript back to her after the first story and says, no, you got a lot of rewriting to do. This is fiction. It's not nonfiction. It's written totally different.
Yes.
And she actually got it. She actually got it, and she rewrote the entire book and sent it back. And now it's really good stories. In fact, I just sent Richard a copy of mock-up today.
Yeah.
Hey, we got one more commercial we got to do. So Hank Tuff, don't go away, Dale. As always,
right
it's
here,
such
right
a
here.
Pleasure talking to you. This is LA Talk Radio. You'll be right back after the brief word from Creative Edge Publicity. Hi, Jim Christina here for Creative Edge Publicity. And you know there's a reason that authors flock to Creative Edge? Yes, it's true, and no one would believe it, but it is true. Creative Edge, the grassroots publicity firm that has stayed community-minded, is growing. And not only growing, but busting right out of their seams. With a client base of over 70 authors, 2 New York Times bestsellers, 6 USA Today bestsellers, and multiple international bestsellers and award winners, Creative Edge in 4 years has become one of the mainstays in the publicity book market, offering reader-focused opportunities in all levels of media, including podcasts, radio, TV, print, and much more. When it comes to publicity, Mickey Mickelson and Creative Edge are experts in the book industry. Look him up at www.creative-edge.services. Creative Edge, it's your brand, your future. And we're back. We've got about 4 minutes left, Dale. So in that time, what tidbits have you got to give our listeners? And I know you have some.
Well, we always have them. Based on this experience that I've had, having now have written dozens of scripts and worked with lots of different producers and have a lot of things in the fire going on right now on the television and film side of this thing, have found that to be such a powerfully rewarding experience that can really supplement and enhance what you do on your novel writing, both in terms of how you write novels, but also in terms of if you can get a success that in that direction, you can turn that back to help support what you do writing your novels. But even if you don't, I would suggest that at the very least, every novel writer sit down and read a few good scripts and try to get some sense of how that story is translated from paper to the from the mind of the writer to the paper to the screen. It's such an eye-opener for me that every time I sit down to write a new script, I'm eternally thankful for the opportunity that I've had to get involved with this side of the business. So, Richard, what you guys are doing, keep on doing it, because it's really, really an unbelievable experience that pays off.
Yeah, Gail, I got a quick question for the novices out there or the people who are doing this for the first time. I think the expectation is you're going to write the script, and 3 weeks later, you're going to get the check and the contract and everything's all, you know, all rainbows and unicorns. But that's mm-hmm. not the reality, correct? This process can take a year or 2 years or even 3 years, right?
Well, you can take it can take you 20 years. You just there are so many different stories. The analogy that I use is that writing screenplays and getting them produced is a little bit like fishing. You know, every time you put a line in the water, you float the bait and the bobber out there, and you get enough lines in the water right now, and then you sit back and you watch the bobbers. You don't
there
even
you
know
go.
If there's a fish under there, but you're going to sit down there, and the more you get in the water, the greater the opportunity for getting one. And then when you get to work with some people who actually get things done and who are respected within the industry, and I've been fortunate enough to fall into that category, it's an unbelievable and a great rewarding experience. So
okay.
Stick with it.
And we are out of time. Dale, you want to real quick give your email address and website?
Website, www.dalebjackson.com. And the email is dalebjackson@dalebjackson.com.
There you go. Easy enough. Now, Dale, thank you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Jim, good talking to you.
Great talking to you, Dale.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we'll be having lunch again soon. Next week, we will. And next week, we have Mary Elizabeth Jackson with us, the author of three award-winning children's books, the Pulitzer series. And she'll be with us live right here on LA Talk Radio. For Bobby Jean Bell, smiling as she always is, Mr. Richard Polidelli, myself, Mr. Sam Hassan, the bookie herself, Jerry Christina, we are out of here.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Russ Avison right here on LA Talk Radio.